But you, I don't see nobody go out there and get them an oak tree, bring in their house, and place it in them, and put lights on it. You're going to have a fire for sure. They were so, see, I say this was God inspired because they took the tree and says, this tree.
We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google Plus or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
A wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
I present to you today our pastor, teacher, Dr. John E. Montgomery II.
God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh once again for this opportunity to study your word. Meet us in the text and tell of the truth that we're teaching, that every hearer's heart might not only hear, but heed what you have to say. We thank you for your ability to make plain and clear your word and to increase our understanding. Then give us power to practice the principles that we might profit from it and give you praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
God bless. Give the Lord a hand of praise as you are seated. Amen. I want to try and wrap up our study on 1 Corinthians chapter 14, with Paul's comparison between the tongues and prophecy. Both of them, of course, uses the mouth, the tongues speak to God, and the prophecies speak what comes from God. And yet the mouth is used in both instances. But Paul's preference in the church is prophecy. He deals with this issue of tongues, both the gift of language and the gift of spiritual tongues. As he says in 1 Corinthians 13, the tongue of men and of angels. And of course, we have gone through this and we have discovered that the purpose of tongues in many instances, gave revelation to the fact that first it was for self-edification. Tongues, again, was used in spiritual worship and in praise. It was used as a sign for the unbelievers. And certainly, of course, it was used in prayer. And one of the things that I think is important is for us to understand that the greatest value in the gifts of tongues was for the individual believer to have a direct spiritual connection with God. It was never ever intended to be the most coveted gift, because it was more as related to its personal value, designed to minister to the individual. And when it was used in its more general sense, it was to convey a message to those who spoke a different human language. And so one of the things you're going to note is that the greatest value to the tongue speaking for the believer was the personal advantages it had in prayer, in spiritual singing, in spiritual praise and worship, and those kinds of things. And so when it was taken out of that context and used in the church, if it was used without an interpreter, it ceased to be the most preferred gift in the church. And it was said if there was an individual speaking in tongues in the church and there was no interpreter, that they should speak to themselves, to God, meaning they could speak in tongues, but it wouldn't be to the general audience, not by a mic and addressing the audience. It would be just in their praise and worship, and they begin to speak, but they are talking to God just individually, just as if you were saying, "Praise the Lord, oh God, we worship you, thank you, Jesus," that kind of thing. So I want to pick up at verse 15, Rita, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, and read until I tell you stop. Thank you.
1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Mm-hmm. I will sing with the spirit, with the understanding also. Mm-hmm. Verse 16. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, mm-hmm. seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? Mm-hmm. Verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Okay. Verse 18.
Wait. Now, these three verses, 15, 16, and 17, teaches us that there is a greater need in the church to do whatever you're doing so that it's intelligible, and that more than you in the church is edified. More than you understands and gets the benefit out of what you're doing in the church. If someone were to come in and we're all just speaking in tongues and whatever, they'll come in and he deals with that and think that everybody in that church is crazy, they're mad. What's wrong with them? What are they saying? When it talks about somebody unlearned, it talks about somebody who does not know the doctrine or understand the operation of the Spirit or is gifted in that manner to even interpret or understand the action of the people. So when they come in and they hear you, they can't say amen to what you're saying, give credence to what you're saying, or give consent or or any of the rest of that to what you're saying, because they have no idea what you're doing. They have no idea of what you're saying because it is foreign to them. It's just like you go into some other denomination and everybody is chanting. Well, you're wondering, what are they chanting about? You don't understand the chant. And 9 out of 10 times, you may not even understand who they're chanting to. So you certainly would not get into the chant without some understanding of what you are chanting for or chanting to or chanting about. Continue on.
Verse 18, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Verse 19, yet in the church I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue.
Exactly. Now listen to this. Paul is saying, just so that we're clear about this, he's saying, I'm not saying tongues is not good. He said, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than you all. He says, but in the church, he said, I will only speak 5 words. I prefer to speak 5 words in a known tongue where you will understand those 5 words that I'm speaking about than to speak 10,000 in an unknown tongue. Now again, purpose of that is helping you to understand that tongues benefited the person more than the public. Okay, go on again.
Verse 20, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men.
Now let me just deal with that right quick. Very simply, it's saying, you know, when children get mad, or you know, you hurt their feelings, whatever the case is, they get mad right quick. But right afterwards, they go right back to playing. They forget about that. They don't hold that. Let one of these good, strong Christians get mad with you. And man, they got a list they put you on. And they don't like you, your mama, your family. No, they don't want nobody connect. And if we friends, they don't want you to be friends with them no more. I mean, it's all of that then. He said, no, in understanding, be men. You know, if there are issues, et cetera, that are not godly, like, be like children who get in the little whatever right there, and then the next 2 minutes, they're back playing again and have forgotten all about that. And so it's important to realize, I just want to throw this out also parenthetically, that Christians really need to learn that principle. There are some Christians who hold on to mess and trouble and issues so long they have forgot why they're mad with each other. What's wrong? I just don't like them. Why you don't like them? Well, I ain't gonna go to it, because then they'll be thinking, man, what am I mad with them for? I've just been hating so long, I don't even know why I'm hating now. But that we need to get rid of that, because that is very prevalent in the church. And I think many of us know it, we've experienced, we've seen it, or some of us may be the one that's holding on to the missions. Let it go. Let it go. Come on, Rita.
Verse 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Verse 22, wherefore tongues are for a sign, and not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe.
All right, hold up right there. First of all, Paul goes back and he references Isaiah, speaking about when God would bring the enemy into the power over Israel and bring them into captivity. And he would speak to them in a foreign tongue because of their captives. And he was saying they wouldn't believe him
in those days and times, just like he wouldn't believe that Israel and many others would not believe him in that day and time. And so what he was saying was that even in the speaking of tongues, that would not always be an acceptance of God's word. And even if he used others in another language, speak in another language, we wouldn't hear or hear him or hear the message from them. He goes on to say that what's important is to understand how God operates in his word, his will, and his way. Why is that important to understand? Because when you don't realize how God operates, you cannot truly receive the benefit of God speaking to you. And God's going to do what he can to reach you. But listen to this, you still have the obligation to hear and to receive for yourself. Now, read the last verse you just read.
Verse 22, mm-hmm. Wherefore tongues are for a sign.
Okay, right there. Now, he makes clear the tongues are for a sign, not for those who believe, but for the unbelievers. Now, he was speaking again in the natural tongue, not the spiritual tongue, because you don't even understand the spiritual tongue. It's between you and God. It's between your spirit and God's spirit. So that's not talking about the spiritual tongue. He's talking about the natural tongue. And if someone were to speak your language that was not trained or taught in your language, and you knew they got that revelation from God, then you would believe based on the fact that God gave them the revelation of your language to reach you in communication. So it was meant for the unbeliever, but prophecy was meant for the believer. All right, continue reading, and he's going to give you an example.
Verse 22 still?
Next verse.
Verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, mm-hmm. and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Verse 24. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. Verse 25. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth.
Amen. Now listen to this. Paul says if somebody came in and the whole church was all speaking in tongues, they say all these people are crazy, etc. But when you got somebody prophesied, and of course they would prophesy in turn. One get through prophesied, another speak. And then when he's through, another speak. They don't do it all at the same time. The reason they do it by course, individually speaking in turn, is because it's designed to minister to and to edify the body, the entire church. So a sinner comes in who doesn't even know anything about prophecy, don't understand what prophecy is all about, knows this, that man don't know me, or that woman don't know me, I don't know them, and they told me what I did that I thought nobody knew. I mean, they all but called my name, and I was thankful for that. And so then I recognize God is in this person, dealing with this person, because this person has read my mail, showed up at my doorstep. No, I take that back. Is in my house. I mean, and there is no secret there, because it's like it has been revealed, and nobody could have revealed that but God. So then they repent. They're like, oh, Lord, I better get my life together, because God is showing me he knows who I am, what I am, what I've done. And it wasn't just last summer. Y'all catch that on your way home. He knows everything about me. And so that person then realized that there is a reality in serving a true and living God. All right, next.
Verse 24. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Verse 25. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you all, in you of a truth. Verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. Verse 28. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God.
Amen. Amen. Well, one of the things that Paul makes clear here is how we ought to operate in the church. He says, when one come and he has this gift, this ability, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it's all done by course. It's all done one by one, again, so that everybody can be edified. And he said, if there's going to be any tongue speaking at all in the church, he said, let it be two or at most three, and then let there be an interpreter present when he's speaking to the entire church. But if there is no interpreter there, listen, that person can still have that time of fellowship with God in speaking of the tongues in a personal sense. That is not, again, a call to end tongue speaking. It was a call to use it correctly. And so if there was no interpreter, that person could be in worship and speak in tongues to themselves and to God, and that, again, would be in order. So sometimes when we hear folk in a worship service and that's what we hear going on, if they're not behind this mic addressing the congregation and they are clearly in a worship, personal worship experience, then that is in order. But if they try to come up and try and talk to the whole church and do that, and there is no interpreter present to be able to do that, then that is out of order. And of course, he says, if it is going to be in order, then that's usually in the course of two, maybe three at the most, again, being done properly. Now, having said that, the whole issue of tongues today is so controversial, and especially as Paul addresses this in the church, there are certain denominations that are still practicing the tongue speaking, especially in worship, and those who are more perhaps exercised in this operation and or gift would do it perhaps according to scripture and according to the word of God. Now, one of the problems we have, if you can call it a problem, is man's interpretation and understanding of the word. Now, the Spirit of truth will always bear witness to the truth. But when it comes to our understanding of the truth, we're on various levels. Here's what you need to know. God will meet you where your faith and your understanding level is. Okay? Now, that means this. Just because one person may not believe it and may not operate in it doesn't mean that another is not given the opportunity to operate that way. Okay, depending on their faith level, depending on their spiritual level, it's a place where I believe 2 Timothy 2:15 really comes into play, where it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because I think if anybody has done any serious studying of the word, especially on tongues, they will find more conflicting reports on this one subject by great scholars. I'm talking about people who have given their lives to the study of the word. I'm talking about people who know far more than I could possibly know at this point in time in life. And I'm talking about who understand the original Greek and Hebrew manuscripts and all of these kinds of things, who understand language at its true root form. If they are disagreeing with what this thing says, then here is what common sense says to me. Common sense says that where we have knowledge of the word, based again on our understanding and upon our operation, our faith, our belief, God will meet us in that place. Now, they say that, again, tongues are done away with. Part of studies show that is the way that it is done away with because of a certain period in time that has passed. It was simply just to usher in the new church. It was just to usher in the new movement of God. And that is no doubt that is true. My main concern is that they understand, the believer, that God has given us, and I do believe, while maybe the variance comes in the church operation of tongues versus the personal edification of tongues, that the gifts are still operational. I believe that. I've studied enough to believe that, and I've gotten, you know, the reports both ways that tongues have ceased and that tongues still exist. I'm talking about for John Montgomery. I'm not talking about nobody else. As a matter of fact, if prophecy is still in existence, so is tongues. Now, we have a more sure word of prophecy in that we have the scriptures that the original prophets did not have. They spoke the word. We have the written word. All right? It's not subject to men's whims, etc. But God used men and breathed upon them and gave them that revelation and gave us this knowledge. Moses spoke what was called original revelation. He pretty much spoke the Bible, the Genesis, the Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He spoke original revelation, and all those prophets then spoke what was called original. We had never heard that before. It was all God's language. Now, God has used a collection of men over some 1,500 years to put together the Biblios, which is a collection of small books, which is where we get the word Bible from, to pull all of this together. So now it's a sure word. We have that. But does that mean God does no longer speak in prophecy? Does that no longer mean that God cannot minister a word to someone to give to me? Does that mean that God has ceased to operate where he gives you words of wisdom and words of knowledge? No, of course not. All that's still in existence. So again, it has a lot to do with your study, with your personal belief, your faith. The word is there. And that's why there's so many different denominations that believe this and that believe that. Some believe, you know, that Jesus was just a good prophet and a good man, but not the Son of God. They believe in God. They believe in the Spirit of God, but they don't believe in Jesus. Some are just set on Jesus Christ himself. Some are just filled with and given just to the Holy Ghost and believe just, I mean, it's like the Holy Ghost is lifted up above the Father and the Son. And that's wrong, because